I leave my Sunday school lesson alone. We'll leave it in Sunday school. But sure am thankful for the choir. Missing some, I won't say missing some key pieces, but several of them are battling sore throats and different things like that. And I guess we're getting into this little cold snap or whatever. How many of you enjoyed that this morning? I'm going to need more than three people to say amen right there. Man, it felt like heaven. And anyhow, that was exciting walking out to that. And anyhow, I sure am thankful for a good weather. I wish this would have been there yesterday, Miss Lucy, while I was standing up there in a suit and it was 85 degrees out and all that good stuff. But I am thankful for this morning and the cold weather. You in Mark chapter number 2? Good. Let's start reading in verse number 1. We'll read down through verse number 12. The Bible says, "And again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house." If you go back and you read Mark chapter number 1, Mark just comes right out, right out the gate, blazing, guns a-blazing, telling us all that Jesus was doing. And that you have to go back and read Mark chapter number 1. We start off, he starts off with John the Baptist, goes right into Jesus. And next thing you know, he's just going through what Jesus is doing. Luke, he takes time. He tells you all about Jesus, takes it all the way back to Mary and tells you the genealogy. Matthew does the same. John takes us all the way back to the beginning of creation. Mark just starts right there in the middle of the ministry. And he's guns a-blazing and he's a-going. And so a lot has taken place, even though we're only in chapter number 2. Jesus has already been doing some great miracles, and there was one in particular, demonic. He come into the temple, I believe it was, and don't quote me on that, but anyhow, he was demon-possessed, and Jesus, the demon actually spoke to Jesus and called him the Holy One of God, and Jesus rebuked him and told him to hold his peace. In other words, don't say another word about who I am. And then Jesus commanded him to come out of the man. The Bible says that he ripped the man, or he tore the man coming out of him. And all the people were amazed, insomuch that Jesus could not even walk openly. Everybody knew about him. Everybody knew what was going on and what had happened. And so when we get to chapter number 2, and he has come back to Capernaum, which, by the way, is the place where he stayed for the most part of his ministry, probably spent about 2.5 years there in his ministry. But this is the place where Peter lived, where the fishermen lived up on the Sea of Galilee, on the northern part of the Sea of Galilee, and this is where he was at. And the Bible tells us that he entered back into Capernaum after a certain amount of time or some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. In other words, his fame had spread to such a level that people were saying, "Hey, Jesus is over," more than likely at Peter's house. And so they are congregating over to see this Jesus. The Bible says in verse number 2, "And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door, and he preached the word unto them." This is another little nugget to bring out, is that Jesus' ministry here was to preach. I need somebody to help me. And that's what he did. We put an emphasis on everything else in the world but preaching. People enjoy the singing. Oh, the singing was great. The singing was great. There's never an emphasis on singing. I need somebody to hear me. It's not an emphasis on singing, it's on preaching. It's the foolishness of preaching, and Jesus came preaching. We need to get that mindset. And I think a lot of people have the mindset they have to be entertained in church. I need somebody to help me. We're not here to be entertained. We're here to be challenged by the Word of God. We're here to be brought to a decision by the Word of God. Do I better my life? Do I mature in my Christian walk? Or am I just here to get entertained? Because if you're here to get entertained, you'll miss out on the reason of being here in the first place. And your Christian walk will show it as well. So Jesus is preaching, the Bible says. And in verse number 3, and they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. That means four men was carrying this one man who could not walk because of this paralysis, this palsy. Verse number 4, and when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. And so we have an interesting story. Jesus is in the house. His noise is abroad. Many people have come, so much so that nobody can fit in the house. Nobody can even get to the door. These men carrying a man that is paralyzed, cannot walk. They're carrying him on his bed. They climb to the roof of this house, dragging him with them, tear a hole in the roof. I need somebody to help me. You don't just drop a, is everybody all right? You don't just drop a paralyzed man down through the roof. And so they had to have a hole big enough that they could lower the whole bed down. I need somebody to help me. Now, in our day and time, somebody got shot. I need a amen. Jesus would have been, the sermon would have been interrupted by a lot more than debris falling from the house, from the roof. But in this day, with Jesus in the house, they tore through the roof, lowered this man right to where Jesus was. And the Bible says, when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why does this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? Oh, they didn't even know. I need somebody to help me. They didn't know the word that had become flesh and dwelt among them. That's who was sitting there. The word that was with God in the beginning and the word that was God, that same word that became flesh and dwelt among us, what the same word that we beheld as the glory of the only begotten of the Father, that same word was sitting in that house. And so when they said, who can forgive God, or who can forgive sins but God only? Jesus said, I know. Is everybody all right? I'd like to just throw this out there. Everybody stay with me right here just for a moment. For all you Catholic brethren out there. If none of them, if only God can forgive sins, then Father so-and-so can't forgive your sins. I just throw that out there. Matter of fact, from what I've seen in the news, Father so-and-so needs to be in that confession booth a lot more than a lot of my friends. Amen. He puts his pants on the same way that you do. Don't you start looking at somebody and putting them up on a pedestal. He has to go to God for the same forgiveness that you do, and he's not capable, able, he's not even in God's program as far as telling you your sins are forgiven. Amen. You ain't got to confess your sins to somebody behind the screen. You can confess your sins openly to God. I need somebody to help. Knowing that God will forgive you of those sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. I like it. That's religion, by the way. I'm going to help you. I know somebody get mad because you was raised Catholic or you got family that's Catholic. Everybody claims to be Catholic. But they all wrong. Where their teaching is wrong. I'll call it out. I'll call it out to one of them. Wear a little collar. You still a man. You a liar wearing that little collar. I'll go on. Is everybody all right? Now, don't come confessing your sins to me either. I got enough I got to deal with, and I don't want to know what you're doing. Verse number 8. And immediately, when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reason within themselves? He said unto them, why reason ye think these things in your hearts? I need somebody to help me. That one right there should have said, you know what? There's something different about this guy. The Bible says that, hey, they didn't openly say anything. They were just doing it on the inside, and Jesus perceived what was going on the inside and questioned them openly. Now, I need somebody to help me. But I would imagine that right then, everybody puckered up a little bit. If he knows what they're thinking, I need somebody to help me. Oh my word. We'll stay away from that. All right. That's too dangerous. That's too dangerous to get into. All right. Now he says this, whether verse number 9, I mean, he literally not only he perceives what they're saying in their heart and he questions them about it, but he goes into specifics. He says, whether it is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk. Y'all, I don't think we're getting this. Them boys didn't say anything. And all of a sudden, Jesus is questioning them on what they were thinking. And he didn't just generalize it. He specifically asked them what they were thinking. They should have all said, that's God. Instead, they hard-headed. But anyhow, y'all get where I'm going. The Bible says in verse number 10, he asked them a question. He said, what's easier? What's easier, for me to say, thy sins be forgiven, or for me to say, arise, take up your bed and walk? What? He asked them a question. Y'all seen the question mark, right? So he addresses them concerning their thoughts, but he does it with a question. He said, which one's the hardest? Me saying thy sins be forgiven, or me saying arise, take up your bed and walk? You tell me. Listen, he ain't cured the man of palsy yet. He's still laying there on the floor. And he asked a question. What do you think's easier? Me to say your sins are forgiven, or me to say arise, take up your bed and walk? And they're all sitting there like most of y'all. I didn't say nothing. Me? I didn't say nothing. My kids. I didn't do nothing. All right, here we go. Verse number 10. But that ye may know that the Son of Man. I'm getting there. I promise you. We're going to get into that. We might get into the sermon by 1 o'clock. But he says he called himself the Son of Man. That is a title of the Messiah that's found back in Daniel. Oh, I need somebody. This is getting interesting. Not only is he perceiving their thoughts, not only has he forgiven a man of his sins, and now he's perceiving their thoughts, and now he's addressing them concerning their thoughts, and he questions them saying, what's easier? But now he gives himself the title of the Messiah. All right? It's amazing to me how much was missed in his presence. How much was missed, even though they were in his presence, they were missing. So y'all gotta help me. And if they can miss so many things being in his presence, Miss Whitney, how many things can we miss? If they can miss all those things, Brother Josh, sitting right next to him, and how much of the church, how much are we missing in the church? The Bible says that he says to them, he says, but that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. He saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house. Now things are getting serious. So he gives himself the title of Messiah. And he said, I'm doing this so that you'll know that I have power here on the earth to forgive sin. He turns to my man that's laying there on the floor saying, Help me, help me. And he says, hey man, arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. Mm. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. We never saw it on this fashion. The same question that he had asked. What's easier? Me to say your sins are forgiven? Or me to say arise, take up your bed and walk? He says, if you think, is everybody all right? Now, in their mind, they were probably thinking, well, only God. Let me give you a little cultural example of this. So only God is able to forgive sins, and only God is able to heal. But God will only heal if the sins are forgiven first. That's how they believe. So Jesus used their own reasoning. Forgive the sins of the man, and then to prove he forgave the sins of the man, he healed the man. Oh, it had to be in the right, see all that? It had to be in the right progression. And so Jesus was showing them who he really was. We read in the Bible here, Jesus was preaching in the church. But as I looked at it, I noticed that there was some people in the house that resemble some people in the church house. I need somebody to help me. As I was reading the scripture, I noticed that there were some people in this house that have a close resemblance to people in this house. And so I got about 16 of them. No, I'm just kidding. There's 5, 6 of them. Y'all can take it easy, all right? But I want to take a look at some of these people that were found in the house. Is everybody with me? Is everybody with me? All right, let's look at them. I want you to notice, first off, there are those that are curious. There are those who are curious. The Bible tells us in verse number 2, and straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. And so the Bible tells us that because of Jesus and because of what had taken place, there was people that were in the house that were just there because they was curious to see what he might do next. You know, there's a lot of people just like that in the church house today. A lot of people come to church and they're really here for a performance. They've heard some great things. They've heard some things outside the walls of the church. They've not experienced it, but they want to so bad. I can remember when we had all kind of people getting saved. I'm talking about most of the crowd that's here today was getting saved in the middle of all of that. People were bringing their families here. They were showing up. People were just so, hey, I heard about church through Facebook. I heard about this. I heard about that. As a matter of fact, if I tell somebody that I'm the pastor of Calvary, most times they tell me, oh, I heard about that church, all right? Because it was been noised abroad what God was doing and how God was working. And with that brings people that are just curious. They just want to see what's going on. They just want to see what's going on. I can remember folks that have come in and they were just curious to see what was going on. And they come in and they found out that, God got a hold of them. So listen, I ain't bashing anybody that's curious and come to the church house this morning wanting to know a little bit about the church. Miss Logan over here raising her hand. I remember her first time in church. She got saved the first time that she come to Calvary Baptist Church, and her car was broken into in our parking lot. What a blessing. You got saved and lost all your money going to the church. Question for a hot, never mind. Anyhow, those who are curious are needed in the church house. Come on, y'all, help me now. Those who are curious are needed in the church house because, and let's just be honest, we were all at some point curious about what was going on concerning Jesus. So you have those people that are curious. We have those people that are curious. They just heard about him. Some just come because they're drawn to a crowd. I need somebody to help me. I'm as bad as anybody, but when I'm walking and somebody and everybody's crowding up around the place, y'all help me. I go get in the middle of it. I want to know what's going on. I mean, I'm like, don't act like y'all ain't either. Hey, and if somebody's fighting, I'm like, hey! Ain't even had to pay for pay-per-view for this one, man. Right? Come on, y'all. Don't be lying. Y'all see a crowd? I know I'm talking to somebody right now. Because when I'm behind you on the interstate and there's been a wreck. You the reason traffic isn't moving. No rubberneck. It's a stiff neck. You all the way looking out the back glass trying to drive down the road. I need somebody to help me. We're drawn to a crowd. When something's going on, we want to be right in the middle of it. So, hey, it's not a bad thing to have curious people in the house. Maybe that's what brought you here this morning. Maybe you just come here this morning because you was curious about what was going on. Let me go ahead and help ease your mind right now. Most people that are sitting around you, their first visit here, it was curious. They just wanted to see what was going on. But they found out that there was one in the house whom they could not explain. There was one in the house that would do something that nobody else could do. And so their curiosity led to their conversion. We see those who are curious. Number two, I see those who are crushed. Those who are crushed. As I looked at this man, I could have used many, but I want to tell you this. When you're helpless, I need some men to help me out here. If you ever been after a surgery or anything else and you can't do anything when you're helpless, your spirit is crushed. Can I say this? There's some people that was in the house that was crushed. We see the man of the palsy. He was lowered down because he could not help himself. He was at a point in his life and probably been at that point in his life all of his life that he could not help himself. And so he was dependent upon everybody else around him. And he had reached a place where he needed somebody to intervene. And we've all been there. We've all been there. Matter of fact, that might be what brought you to our church. You were crushed. Your spirit was crushed. There was things that was happening in your life that were beyond your control. Maybe a family was being split up. Maybe your finances was going down the drain. Maybe a job was lost. Maybe it was a death in the family. Maybe it was something else that you were going through spiritually that you just could not explain. You couldn't let anybody know what was going on, but you felt it in your heart because you were crushed. And you come looking for help. Any help would do, but come looking for some kind of help. And God showed up where you were at. I'm thankful for those who are curious, but I'm also thankful for those who walk through the doors that are crushed. Because I do believe this is a place where you can find a healing. I really do. I honestly do. I believe that this is a place that can heal your spirit. I think there's a plenty of people we could testify all morning long of people that's walked into this church hurting, people that's walked into this church crushed, people that's walked into this church helpless, only to walk out carrying everything. I need somebody to help me. Carrying all that they brought in, carrying it out of the house, going and noising abroad what Jesus had done for them. We see those who are curious, they've heard about him, they've just drawn to a crowd, but those who are crushed, they truly hear that because they need something. There's some people that are sitting around us today, they needed church today. There's some people that just come out of obligation, but there's people in here that they needed this morning. They needed Sunday school, they needed a smile from somebody, they needed a prayer of somebody, they needed a confirmation from somebody. They needed a word from God. They needed something in their life and God has provided it already. But maybe you come in crushed and said, I ain't quite there yet, preacher. I'm hoping and I'm praying and I'm sure that by the end of the service, you'll get exactly what you need too. Because those who are crushed, they truly need something. But they get to a place where they're unable to do it on their own. I like this. I wrote down their spiritual needs are met first. Oh, I need somebody to help me. We live in a world where we want everything to be fixed on the outside. We need fixing on the inside. We live in a world where we want to dress up the outside when the inside needs a remodeling. I'm thankful Jesus did it this way. The Bible says that he forgave his sins first, and then he healed him. I need somebody. Hey, I want you to notice what Jesus put an emphasis on. I'll say it over here. Y'all still asleep. I want you to notice what Jesus put an emphasis on. Not the healing. Amen. Jesus didn't want to show out as soon as the door or as soon as the roof was torn off. He could have. But he was more interested in their spiritual condition than he was the physical condition. And so his spiritual needs was met first, thereby opening a door for his physical needs to be met. But I want to say this about those who are crushed. Not only are they folks that truly need something and are unable to get it on their own, and they're folks that have their spiritual needs are met first before their physical needs, but their lives scream the loudest that Jesus is who he says he is. I need somebody to help me. There's some folks in here, and I'm thankful for your background. I'm thankful that you grew up in church all your life, but there's a group of us here. I'm going to go over to this side. There's a group of us here. Yeah, I'm feeling something right here on the front row. There's a group of us here that didn't have it all together when we showed up at church. There's a group of us here that was messed up when we come into the church house. There's a group of us here that had a testimony outside the house about how bad we were. And we walked into the house crushed, but ran out of the house healed. And we are, now I need somebody to help me. Our lives scream that he is who he said he is. Oh, I need somebody to help me. Listen, don't you let your past beat you down. You look at your past and you say, because of Jesus, I am who I am today. Paul didn't make excuses for what he did in his past. Paul just said this, by grace I am what I am today. By the grace of God. Listen to me, our lives scream that he is who he says he is. Devil can fight everything in the world, but he can't fight what Jesus did in me. Don't you walk in here with your head held low because you crushed. Because you in the right spot. I need somebody to help me. You in the right place. I like how they tore the roof off and it just happened. Y'all need to hear me right here. They tore the roof off and it just happened to be the right place. They tore the spot of the roof off where it just happened that Jesus was right down below. What are you trying to say, preacher? I'm trying to say that when you come to him, he'll be right there waiting on you. Now, I'm thankful I walked into a church crushed because I ran out of that church. Amen. Changed. Some are curious. Some are crushed. I like this one, though. There are those that are curious, those that are crushed, but there are those that are committed. Oh, I need somebody to help me right here. They're committed. They're faithful. Those disciples, they were with Jesus the whole, and y'all help me. They were there the whole time. They was four men that was carrying a man with palsy. I don't know about y'all, but that's committed. Ask somebody to help you to move. You'll find out how committed people are today. Let me go down there and clear off a spot. Ask somebody to help you to do something and you'll find out just how committed folks are today. People look at you eyeball to eyeball and lie to you. It's how committed people are today. But there's some people in that church house that were committed. Four men carrying one man. I need somebody to help me. Four men carried him up on the rooftop. Now, most Most would have just got him to the door, laid him down and said, Jesus is going to have to come the rest of the way. We got you as far as we're prepared to take you. But these four, Miss Lucy, they was committed. They said, we can't get in this way. I ain't seeing no windows. People are standing in front of them. Looks like the only way we're going to get in is to dig in or to come through the roof. What say y'all? Well, I ain't got no shovel. Well, it looks like, is everybody all right? Look like we're going to the roof. And man, I wish I had a bed, because I'd make four of y'all carry somebody in this. And I promise you, after that sermon illustration, you'd get saved again. Dead weight. Carrying four men. Not just carrying him to the door. I need somebody to help. I hope they didn't have 8-foot ceilings. Come out and help me. Maybe they were in an igloo or something. Maybe. Dug it out. A bunker. Committed.
Amen.
What are you saying, preacher? They were committed. They were faithful. They were faithful. They were the kind of friends that cared enough about him. Oh, I need somebody to help me. That they sacrificed themselves. So you don't just carry a man. You don't carry a man across town, climb up on a rooftop with him, tear off the roof for him, and lower him down unless you are committed. They were faithful. Not only that, I need somebody to help me. They had a lot of love.
That's right.
Yeah. I just know people, and I'll be honest with you. Hey, man, I heard Jesus down there at that house. Can y'all carry me down there? No, dude, I got, it's date night. I would, but I've already committed to T-ball. Y'all, is everybody all right?
Amen.
I would. I really wish I could. Why do you say that? You're lying. I really wish I could, but, you know, my car, it's on a quarter tank of gas. And I know it ain't but a mile over to your house, but I'm not getting good gas mileage right now. I come up with all of them. But we see their love. We see their faithfulness. We see their labor. Can I say this? When you carry somebody, it's going to be some labor involved. We see people that were curious that were in the house. We see people who were crushed that were in the house. We see people who are committed that were in the house. But I notice this. There were some that were criticizing. Ooh. Ooh. They was critics. There's always critics in the house. Let me say this to you. If you don't go to church normally, there's always critics in the house. If you go to a football game, there's a critic. I watched last night. How many of y'all watched Tennessee and who was it? Who played last night? Tennessee and Ole Miss. How many of y'all seen the end of the game? How many of y'all seen the 20-minute delay? Just me and Brother Vic. We were the only ones watching it. All right. Anyhow, a replay was done on the TV and it didn't go Tennessee's way. I thought the Tennessee player got the line in the game, but they didn't give it to him. So all the fans, 102,000 fans in this stadium, started pitching a fit. They threw water bottles. They threw trash. One of them threw a golf ball and hit the head coach of Ole Miss. Who brings a golf ball to a football game? And I'll tell you how cheap he was. It was one of them range balls, them Spalding yellow range balls. Sucker, if you're going to throw something at me like a golf ball, throw a Pro V1X. Is everybody all right? A $5 golf ball. Don't be throwing that junk at me that you stole off the driving range. But they were criticizing. Do you hear me? There's a critic. Everywhere you go, I need somebody to hear me. If you think church is going to be perfect and everybody's going to be perfect, I need help. This is not a perfect place. this is a bunch of imperfect people. And if you think we're going to get a bunch of imperfect people in the same building and all of a sudden it's going to become perfect, you crazy. There's going to be critics. Why are there critics in the church? Because they criticize what they won't do. Oh, I need somebody to help me. They criticize what they won't do. Look at them up there tearing that roof out. Man, if this was my house, I'd be done shot somebody. I need somebody to help me. Man, I can't believe they're tearing that roof out. Man, if they would have used a saw and made some clean cuts, we could have put the roof back together. Is everybody all right? I mean, there's always something to criticize. You're carrying him wrong. I mean, all you had to do was ask politely and we would have let you in. I mean, but y'all, is everybody all right? You're interrupting. Stop. What are you doing? Hey, the house is packed. Everybody's in there and all of a sudden the roof starts falling in. I promise you there were some critics down there. Dude, if you don't stop, I will come up there right now. There's critics. Always critics in the house. They criticize what they won't do. They criticize what they can't do. Yeah. They sat there and looked at Jesus and said, only God can forgive sins. So they criticize what they can't do. You know, like when somebody's up here singing and they don't hit the note just like you would hit the note, even though you don't sing in the choir because you can't sing. Even though the preacher says something that you wouldn't have said, but yet you don't preach. I love how many perfect speakers there are that don't stand in front of 200-300 people every week and speak. It's kind of like them perfect coaches that sit in them perfect recliners and tell the coach that's making millions what all he's doing wrong. I'm having fun. Is everybody all right? Hey, there's critics everywhere. Going to Walmart, there's critics. Yeah, you think Walmart's a perfect place. You can get anything you want in Walmart. I mean, you can get satisfied or anything. You can get entertainment at Walmart. You can get entertainment at the door of Walmart. You don't even have to go inside. Is everybody okay? But I promise you this, stand there long enough, somebody's going to complain. I can't believe they're making us check out ourselves. You're the reason we wanted to check out ourselves. 6.5 hours of you doing this. I thought that was on sale. I read that it was on sale. Where it was at, it showed that it was on sale. Well, but sir, we're going to have to go. Well, I'll wait. That's why we got self-checkout. I need somebody to help me. And I'm glad of it. Because now I don't have to sit beside. I need somebody to help me. I need somebody to help me. I know I got a coupon in here somewhere. Give me just a minute. There it is. $1 off. I will give you $1. Get out my way. Hey, look. I'm criticizing people in Walmart right now. See, there's always a critic in the building. They criticize what they won't do. They criticize what they can't do. And they criticize what they can't see. Jesus said, thy sins be forgiven. They were like, see, it wasn't as obvious as take up your bed and walk. I need somebody to help me. You're not careful in church, you'll criticize things you can't see. God working on somebody and their response to that, and the whole time you sitting there saying, judging them off of their past or judging them off of, I need somebody to help me. I got to move on. We see those who are criticizing. We see number whatever, those who are complacent. Those who are complacent, they're in attendance, but they're not engaged. They're enjoying the work as long as it doesn't cost them anything. Let me say this about those that are complacent. They're needed in the church, but don't be that person. Let me encourage you to get involved, get engaged into the church, all right? And then those who are celebrating, lastly, and I'm done, those who are celebrating. Bible says in verse number 12, and immediately he rose up, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. Now I want you, hey, listen to me. Let's sum it all up. So who's the first people we had in the building? Curious people. Then we had the crushed people. Then we had the committed people. Then we had the criticizing people. Then we had the complacent people. And now we see those that are celebrating. I want you to see this. All of them. Don't miss this. All of them were celebrating. What are you trying to say, preacher? What I'm trying to say is that you're always going to have curious people in the church. You're always going to have crushed people. You're always going to have complacent people. You're always going to have critics in the church. You're always going to have committed people in the church. But they should all be celebrating. Not because of what we did, but because of what he did. See, they were all there and they got to see something they'd never seen before. They said, we never saw it on this fashion. And let me tell you something about this church. There's some people in here that you just shake your head at and say, never saw it on this fashion. We ain't perfect, but thank God. I need somebody to hear him. Thank God we're not who we used to be. We're not who we were when we came down into the house. We're now celebrating who we are running out the house. Let me encourage you this morning, wherever you find yourself in that, I'm thankful that you're here. But the most important person in that house I didn't mention, and that was Jesus. And you can have church with all the critics. You can have church with all the complacent people. You can have church with all the committed people. You can have church with all the crushed people. You can have church with all the celebrated people. They celebrate. But if he ain't there, if that one person, I need somebody to help me. If that one person ain't there, then we missed out on meeting in the beginning. We shouldn't even bother to even be here if Jesus isn't in the house. And if Jesus is in the house, I need somebody to let me know it. I need somebody to let me know it. If Jesus is in the house every time we show up, then it ought to be noised abroad. Not because of what we do, but because of what he's able to do. Amen. In a Jesse Coward. I seen a Derek Allen walk in. Where's that joker at? There's Derek. In a Derek Allen. Buddy Spivey. Lord help me. Frank. If God can save Frank.
That's right.
And I could go on and on throughout the building.
That's right.
I need somebody to help me. Amen. We ain't perfect. Amen, Wendell, we ain't perfect. We ain't perfect, Wendell. Matter of fact, you stick around us long enough, you find plenty to criticize.
That's right.
But that won't stop us from celebrating.
That's right. Amen.
I need somebody, yo, don't miss this. And it won't stop him from showing up.
That's right.
See, If he treated it like we do, then he would have never been in the house, but yet he was in the house with all them people and doing a work, a far greater work than anybody in the house could do.
That's
right. Amen. This morning, no matter who you are, no matter how you come into this place, there's one that's here this morning.
Amen.
That can change your life.
That's right.
The rest of us, we got our own problems. I need somebody to help me. The rest of us, we got our own problems. And I just want to let you know, chances are somebody's going to look at it and criticize what's going on. But at the end of the day, let me say this. At the end of it all, I'd rather go with him.
Amen.
Than anybody that on that list that I just preached. While I love everybody on that list, and I appreciate everybody on that list, Brother Kenny, if they were all gone and it was just me and him, I'd be content. Heads bowed with me. Dalton's making his way to the piano for us. Who are you? Which one are you in that group of people? We all need to improve in areas of our lives. Maybe you find yourself as the one that criticizes. Come get your heart right. Maybe you find yourself as wanting to be committed but not quite. Come find a place in the altar. Maybe you're just curious this morning, or you're just crushed in spirit. You come into our church. I want to help you this morning. I can't do anything but lead you to the one that can help you, but I'll do so if you'll let me. Jesus can do more for you in a moment than I can do for you in a lifetime. But he'll not address your physical needs until he has addressed your spiritual need. And this morning, maybe you're crushed, maybe you're curious. But I want you to know there's one in attendance today who loves you, has compassion on you, wants to do a great work in you. If you're here this morning, you'd be honest with me and say, "Preacher, if I was to die right now, I do not know where I'd spend eternity." If that's you this morning, I want you to do me a favor and just lift your hand up where I can see it. I'm not going to embarrass you. Just be honest with me and lift your hand right up. Anybody like that? Our Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this morning. Lord, I'm glad that I get to go to church with a bunch of folks that are just like me. I have my days where, Lord, I'm curious or I'm crushed. I have days and I'm committed. Lord, it's too many times I have days where I criticize or get complacent. But I'm thankful that I have something to celebrate. Lord, I pray, Lord, that we'll be a church of a noise abroad, God, that you're in the house every week. Lord, I'm thankful for your presence in every service and ask you to continue to do a work in the lives of the people that I have the privilege of being friends with, being in ministry with. Lord, use us, Lord, for your honor and glory. Use us, Lord, to carry others to you. Let our testimony be such that people want to follow us on a Sunday, on a Wednesday night. Lord, I'm thankful for those in the church that are committed to the work and the labor of the church. Lord, I pray that you'd bless them, those in children's church, those in the sound booth, those on the security team, care team, those that do so many things around here, go unnoticed and unseen, working behind the scenes while others are getting the glory. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would bless them, encourage them. And Lord, I pray that the one that's getting the glory would be you.